This is On Location. I'm Tim Leitner. Today's episode comes to you from Indiana, California, and Alaska. But first, On Location is produced by the NCO Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Manlin and me. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Breaker, iHeartRadio, and Radio Public, among others. So subscribe today on your favorite podcast service and tell all your friends. On this podcast program, join co-hosts Tim Leitner with CGI Technologies and Solutions Incorporated and Deanna Rice with the California Department of Child Support Services as they welcome Adam Norman, the 40 director of the Indiana Child Support Bureau. Get to know Adam as he talks about how he got involved in child support, the structure of Indiana's state program, and his responsibilities as the director. He talks about the importance of collaboration as well as relationships within the program. Listen as Adam discusses his views and experiences with project management, policy work, and even what catches his interest during his off-the-clock time. It's going to be a great show, so stick around, and we'll be right back. Welcome to another episode of NCO On Location, coming to you from Indiana, California, and Alaska. I'm Tim Leitner with CGI Technologies and Solutions Incorporated, based in Anchorage, Alaska. And today I'm joined by my co-host, Deanna Rice, from the California Department of Child Support Services. Deanna, would you please introduce yourself to our On Location listeners and introduce our topic and guest for today?
Hello, everyone. I'm Deanna Rice, and I'm coming to you from Sacramento, California. I'm the assistant to Director David Kilgore, and I've been involved with the NCIA Communications Committee for about 3 years now. I help manage committee meetings and help keep things advancing in the NCIA world. Today, we are pleased to have on the podcast Adam Norman from the state of Indiana. Many of you know Adam. However, many of our listeners are going to meet and get to know Adam for the first time today. Adam, please tell us about yourself.
Hi, Tim, and hi, Deanna. Thanks for having me on today. As you said, my name is Adam Norman. I'm the director of the Child Support Program here in Indiana. We're called the Child Support Bureau, which is part of the Department of Child Services in Indiana, and I've been in this role since April 2019. Prior to that, I had a variety of roles here at the Child Support Bureau with the assistant deputy director, supervisors, managers in different aspects. Prior to that, I was a deputy prosecutor in two different counties in Indiana, Bartholomew and Tippecanoe, conducting all the child support program in those two counties. And we'll get into a little bit later our structure, but that was my role prior to that. So I kind of came right out of law school and got dumped into the child support world, just needing a job and not knowing what it was. And here I am now the director of the program. So that's a brief about my background.
Great. So Adam, it's good to have you on NCO Location today. And for your first time. So I've got to ask, what are your favorite podcasts and what do you listen to? Not being a trick question, but just kind of, you know, inquiring.
So here's the confession. I really don't listen to podcasts. And some of that, honestly, it goes back to my days when I worked in Lafayette, Indiana, which was about an hour and a half drive each way from where I lived at the time. And I tried books on tape. This is back in the 90s. And I would find myself either dozing off or focusing on the content so much I couldn't drive. And I was like veering off the road a little bit. So I just never really got into it much. I'm more of a visual person, I think. But here's one thing that's interesting. One of my favorite shows is on Hulu called Only Murders in the Building, which is based around a podcast. So I don't know if that's podcast light, but that's about as close as I get to podcasts. I really enjoy that show. I like murder mysteries a lot. So I really enjoy that show. And I think it's a great show. So I'm trying to tangentially get into what a podcast would be for me, my experience.
That is a great show.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, much agreed. So I would imagine this might be the first podcast you listen to when it comes out.
It would be, yes. So, also full disclosure, I'm not big into watching or hearing myself after I do things. So in addition, in fact, it's a long story, but there was this article that just came out in our community about my children and my family and kind of our life, because I have four boys, and I've never read it. I've just heard about it, and people told me so. That's not my kind of my thing, but I might listen to this one.
Yeah. Well, you know, regardless, we're glad to have you on the podcast today. So Adam, let's focus on your leadership and career journey. Can you share about how you got involved in the child support program and how long you've been involved and what got you interested? How did you end up here?
I think from, like most of us in child support, it is a long and winding journey to get here. I was actually a business major at Indiana University, and I then went to law school and decided I was not going to do anything that had to be in a courtroom. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to help people. Maybe I did some social work clinics, but I didn't want to be a trial attorney. So I ended up being a trial attorney, of course, out of law school, because I had just gotten married and I needed a job. And it sounded like something interesting. So I was a trial attorney for a brief bit up in Lafayette. Of course, Purdue is our arch nemesis here in Indiana, because I went to IU and did some of that criminal work for a while. And then there was an opening in child support, and I thought it sounded somewhat interesting. It was kind of more my wheelhouse of social services. And so I kind of took the plunge, and that was in May of 1998. So a very different child support program than it is now, locally and nationally, and some of the perspective. So then, like I said, I did that, some of that work for a while, and then we had a child, then we had another child, and then it made sense to move closer to home. So opening was in Columbus, Indiana, which is Bartholomew County, which was closer. And then I was there for a while, and then I left there and I came here to the state, as we call it here in Indiana. You're either a county or the state. So I came to the state as a kind of a contractor, and then as a variety of supervisory roles with our liaisons to the counties, and then the financial, I'd say auditing is not the right word, but managing the expense of all the counties. I was in charge of all that, set up that program, and then kind of did a variety of roles. So, and then my predecessor and mentor and friend, Cynthia Longus, she was the director prior to me, and she announced her leaving in 2019. After I got over the shock of it, I applied and then got the position. So that was kind of my trajectory. So in Indiana, the elected prosecutors implement the program. So I'm very prosecutor. I was trained to be a deputy prosecutor. I think that way still. I think very investigative and kind of gathering facts. So that, and very research minded. So that's kind of how I approach the program.
Thank you for all that information, Adam. With my state of California, the child support program is state run, county administered. What is it like in Indiana?
I think it's similar to California. We are a heavily judicial state here in Indiana. We do some administrative enforcement, but every child support order and modification has to be signed off by a judge, even if it's an agreement. There's no administrative establishment or modification of child support, but there is some administrative enforcement actions. Although in Indiana, under statute, you can, if you, quote, exhaust your administrative appeals, meaning with the local prosecutor's office for administrative action, that can then be heard by a judge. And we still do things like driver's license, even a federal tax intercept or offset can be stopped or implemented by a local judge. So we're a heavily judicial state, but our setup is that here at the Child Support Bureau, we are the state administrators of the program. The federally recognized 40 official program is Child Support Bureau. And then we have some like contracts, but they're basically sub-recipients is all the elected prosecutors. There's 91 in Indiana and then there's 92 clerks in Indiana. We contract with them as well through cooperative agreements to implement the program locally. And we also have 40 courts in Indiana as well. But every county does the 40 work. It's just that allows them to get partial reimbursement for some of their 40 duties in some of those counties. They have a magistrate or juvenile referee or something like that that handles that 40 work. So that's kind of our structure. The prosecutors and clerks are independently elected officials. We can encourage them to take actions, but we are not their direct bosses. So they are not part of our program. We work collaboratively with them. They are our partners. We have a good working relationship with them. Generally, there's always some difference of opinion, of course, but we have a good working relationship with them. They're critical to our success here in Indiana and how we're structured. And, you know, we are a very independently minded state of how we approach things as Hoosiers. And I think that goes into how the child support program is run locally. And, you know, in Indiana, the prosecutor is the only county position that is in our constitution. It is constitutionally required to have a prosecutor. So it's a pretty deep into our culture and our heritage here in Indiana about prosecutors. They're the highest law enforcement official in the county. And so that they have a lot of influence and power, which I agree with, by the way, especially coming from that world. So we really are a support, and we do deal a lot with the money, how it's dispersed, and the policy, and resolving problems that might be between counties, between states, and setting kind of the trajectory for the program. Here is my role here, but also to manage all of those other entities and encourage them to comply with what is required of them and to manage the program in general.
That sounds like a lot of cats to herd.
It is. I used to be one of those cats. So I hear stories from some of the staff here. They remind me how I was sometimes not the most agreeable sometimes when I was in the county world, which I just think that as I was passionate, I take that as a compliment. But yeah, it is a lot of cats. We have 285 local entities that we audit and work with at the county level. And fun fact about Indiana, I mentioned there's 92 counties, but there's 91 prosecutors because two of our counties are one judicial district in southern Indiana. So that's why it's a little bit off. It's not, the numbers don't quite match up. But yeah, we deal with all the county auditors, the county sheriff, the county councils, the county commissioners on a regular basis. We review all of their expenditures and work with those different groups. And there's a graphic that I use. I just presented to the Northern clerks this week. And there's, you know, we have 25 interfaces with different programs here in Indiana for child support information gathering, collections, and that type of thing. Plus, there's probably about 45 different entities that we manage and deal with. We have MOUs with them, or just handshake agreements, or just we work with them in general here in Indiana. So there's a lot to manage for sure. But, you know, I don't know any different. I quote, we came up in the program that way, so we don't know any different. So it works for us.
That's amazing.
So, Adam, you've mentioned to Deanna, as the director of a state program, there's many facets, many responsibilities. Can you tell our listeners what some of these are?
Sure. Yeah. And I'll say that my view of this position is really relationship building. To me, that's the most important thing as a 4D director. As I mentioned before, we have all these different interfaces and all these different partners and vendors that we deal with. So it's really about building those relationships to understand each other's viewpoints and the needs of each group and how we can make that work together for the families that we serve. That's the entire point, is that we're trying to serve these folks on our program the best we can and not be a hindrance to their life, but an enhancement to their life. So all of that is done through relationships. But through that, there's project management, there's policy making, policy decisions. There's sometimes arbiters of disagreements between different groups, and coming to a resolution. And it's also really having that 2 to 3 year vision of where to take the program and things to implement and seeing how that can be integrated in Indiana. A great example of that is I was just recently in Chicago in July for the Region 5 OCSS regional meeting. Shout out that I'm very excited to be back in Region 5 for Indiana. So we're very excited to be back where we feel we belong as well. But I was just taking pages of notes from information I was getting from my fellow states and tribes. Like there's a page about from the Ho-Chunk Nation. There's a page from Wisconsin, a page from Michigan, and a page from, Illinois, for example, and Minnesota, and all these things. And I come back and I'm all excited. And my staff's like, you're going to have to take this down from 100 to a 10 for us, because that's a lot of information here, because I'm excited about it, because I see where we can go. So a lot of my job is that vision of how we can integrate it. But it's also, frankly, removing barriers for my staff and the program and the counties. And there's a lot of barriers that come our way. We are part of a larger organization. The DCS, the Department of Child Services, is actually the Child Welfare Department. We were put together in, I think, 2006 or five or six by then Governor Mitch Daniels as kind of an integrated child services type of program. And I think that, you know, there's some difference of approach between those two entities, between child welfare and child support, especially in Indiana, right? A lot of the child welfare folks come from a social work background. In Indiana, the child support is prosecutor background and clerk background. So it's a very, very different mindset. So a lot of my job is to bridge those differences and remove those barriers internally and externally. So there is a lot of hats. I usually don't try to think about it at one time because it's overwhelming, but it is. It's a lot of the project management of and absorbing new information. How can we integrate that? But also policy is a huge part of that as well. And also that relationship building and barrier busting.
Yes, it's kind of fascinating to hear you talk about all this and how the similarities and differences between states. Yeah, it's a lot. So, Adam, let's talk a little bit more about your view and experience with project management in Indiana. So what are some projects that you've managed for the Child Support Program during your tenure? And if you could tell us, how did you insert yourself in a project when you weren't invited to the table? And what changes have you implemented in Indiana?
So as some of you know me and you probably know that I'm can be very direct and very aggressive. So inserting myself is not a problem because I'm pretty passionate about it. You know, as trained as an attorney, as a deputy prosecutor, we zealously defend our clients, the state of Indiana in court proceedings. And for me, my main thrust is the health of the program. And if you have a healthy program, then you can provide better services and support to the families here in Indiana. You know, we have about a little over a million people that are on the 4D program here in Indiana. And, you know, that's not just them, right? It's all the people that live in their households, the new spouse, the new girlfriend, grandma, cousin that might be taking care of these children on and off or integrated in their lives. So to me, it's a huge responsibility because these are in our communities. And so to me, that's why I get really passionate about it is that to see that impact on our communities. I think that, you know, when I came in 2019, we were just finishing the contract negotiations for the new system, which is called Invest, and the new modernization program. And it was on, and still is, brand new technology, a new with Salesforce as a platform. I'm using MuleSoft, Amazon Web Services, has never been done for a human services system, especially child support in the country. And I come in and then kind of get my feet underneath me, and then the pandemic hits. And so my first honest, real big, it was kind of a thrust on me, project management, was managing the pandemic and our response here in Indiana and trying to figure out are we going to stop some enforcement, stop some actions to help people that have just, you know, as we all remember, the bottom dropped out in a month, millions of people lost their jobs. And so it was a huge change for us. And then it had to manage, I call this nicely the debacle of the economic impact payment and how that was handled, but I won't get into details because, you know, the IRS might be listening. So, but you're managing that. So to me, that was a project management. I kind of look back on that and see the, you know, hundreds of hours spent by myself and my staff in the first few weeks of that pandemic. So that was really the first big dip into that. And right after that, that initial shock for all of us as a country of what was going on, we launched the system modernization project with our DDI vendor in June of 2020. So that kind of went into that. But I think, you know, a lot of what we do here got put on hold because of that project and to invest. But one thing that we did manage and change and that I learned a lot from as a director was we did not have an online an enrollment ability for people to sign on services the way it was in Indiana prior to the pandemic. Was there is a form that you could find. We have a website, but a lot of counties have their own website, and you have to, it was not a fillable PDF. It was, you print it out, you handwrite it, you could email it and scan it into the local county office. You had to walk it in when they're open. And that's just tradition here. And we found, you know, during the pandemic, there was an 85% drop in new 4D cases in a month. And we're like, that sounds wrong. And then it kind of creeped back up. But a lot of offices were closed or closed to the public or had limited services, and just like the rest of the country. Although Indiana was not closed down as long as a place like California, for sure. We were not closed down as long, but we still had that impact. And so we really thought we need to change how we're doing this. So that's where the online enrollment form came from. And it was a little bit of a tussle, because it was changing tradition, it was changing how things were done. And it was a little messy, I'd say, when we rolled that out. But there's a lot of lessons that we learned. And one of the biggest was we didn't plan for how our staff internally was going to manage it. It was just like, oh, here, by the way, all these thousands of applications or enrollments are coming in. But that was a big one. So, and really, it was just invest. But the interesting part, you talk about forcing yourself at the table, so to speak, is without getting into real details, there was a approach that I did not necessarily agree with of the involvement of business. So we'll just kind of leave it at that. And through a series of discussions with our county partners, some behind closed doors, some of these people I've known for a long time, some very frank discussions and discussions with our technical team who was having some same concerns, really kind of forced the issue in a way that was also collaborative, but keeping the eye on the ball of serving the public. This was not going to help. This was going to harm families if we did X versus Y. And some of it was the initial delay of the pilot in 2022 and even the rollback that happened now. And, you know, way back in my early days with the agency, I was involved in a document program that we were about ready to launch, and I effectively killed it because I was seeing the negative impact it was going to have. And this is like a decade ago. So I have experience of kind of biting the bullet, so to speak, and taking a deep breath and saying, this is not right. We need to stop. And so I think that building a team around you that isn't yes people is critical. But it isn't just adversarial to be adversarial, but they're realistic. And I think that's very important. And I've kind of tried to build a culture, not of fear, but of collaboration, but one that's kind of a little, I would say some people maybe from the outside see it as a little loose, and it's not as rigid, but it's also very flexible and fluid. But again, you know, getting to the table is building those relationships. So even when there wasn't the type of involvement I wanted in the project from a business perspective, that means county and my agency, I was never adversarial. I was always kind of, I don't know how else to explain, almost like we just saw this in the theaters again, the Jurassic Park movie. If you remember at the beginning, they're talking about the velociraptors in the cage, and they're like, isn't it electrified? Yeah, but they kept testing it, and they kept seeing where the weakness was and where they could find entry. And that's how I view myself a little bit. Like, where can I find an entry point to get what we need done? And I keep testing different things without being, you know, just destroying a relationship. So relationships are the number one thing to me in this business. So finding my place at the table and businesses' place at the table is about building upon that foundation of business and not just coming in cold and demanding. I'm not really a demander. I'm more of how can we solve this problem together? And here's something that's lacking you might not understand is lacking, and just keep going and going and being kind of relentless with it. So that's kind of my approach. And sometimes it works, and a couple times not as well as I'd like, but generally it works pretty well.
So refreshing to hear that from a director with, you know, you got to roll with the punches and make the changes that need to be made to improve the lives of everybody, really.
Right.
Thank you.
Yep.
So, Adam, what about policy work? Is this something that catches your interest?
It does. As an attorney, it does. I think that every time you hear the word, it makes me clench a little bit in my stomach, because it is it's a battle here in Indiana sometimes, and a good battle, and based on our structure, and that's a positive thing. What's interesting is that we have a policy manual here in Indiana, like I'm sure every state does in territory, but we had one from the 90s and it was woefully behind. And I remember back, I want to say maybe a decade ago, maybe 11 years ago, we were working on, hey, we need to update this. It took us 7 years to update it. It was just a lot of back and forth and different opinions. And as you can imagine, with 91 prosecutors, there is a lot of, well, in our county, we have to have this, and we need to have this part, we need to have that part. And fair, very fair. But getting that consensus, and I was not in charge of that at the time, but the criticalness of policy, of how it directs every action that you do, is really important. I think what we learned as an agency is without having that updated, we are kind of adrift without direction. And so we got it done. We finally buckled down, but we changed a little bit how we engaged our county partners, and it went a lot smoother and kind of had them lead it a lot more. Instead of having it done to them, we were working together on policy updates. Then we did another review of it that only took a year and a half because we wanted to update it again. We're like, some of this stuff was 7 years old, right? So, but the policy part is to me the backbone of the program. And I think at this point, we're kind of settled on it here in Indiana. We're now, interestingly, when we're developing Invest, we can now point back to clearly and recently updated policies that this is violating our policy, and we're not changing our policy because it's been a well-vetted and researched policy of whatever the subject matter is, to then say we need the system to address the policy and not change the policy for the system. So we have a lot stronger confidence in our policies and how they are integrated into our program a lot better. And I think that at some point, it was just really weird. It was kind of like all of a sudden, it just kind of like everything cleared up and it just, we all came together and it was really great. And that's a few years ago. We used to have a policy committee meeting like twice a month, and now we don't even meet because we meet ad hoc. So it's been a good trajectory and relationship building again and a good collaboration. So policy is something that's, you know, I guess right now, what's going on right now in our agency, it's kind of now our foundation. It's not something we really have to worry about. It's not changing dramatically, unless, of course, there's a new statute or something that goes into effect. We're really focusing on implementing that policy and then also the impact of Invest on that policy.
Thank you. And while no one talks much about this, when you're on your own and you're not thinking about the program or what's on your plate, the many, many things on your plate, what do you enjoy doing in your free or fun time?
Just child support. No, that's all it is. So it's honestly just family and being with the kids. I have four boys. They are age 14 to 23. So they are, as you can imagine, it's a heavily active activities in life. In fact, in just a little bit, I'm going to our football game to work with the marching band because one of my sons is in the pit and does the marimba. So I'm going to be working, and I'm one of the heavy lifters for the band on off the football field. And then we have a contest tomorrow. So I'm part of the truck loading crew, which I actually really enjoy. I don't think about child support at all or work. It's really great. And then another child in choir, another one is, you know, at Miami of Ohio, and another one's at IU. So we're really busy with that. Interestingly, though, during the pandemic, we put in a pool because all the pools closed, right? And we're like, that was a big part of our life. We went to some other people's pools or things like that. So actually, and maybe not today, it's a little cool today, but I've been enjoying just going and floating, and just that's what I do. I just float. But also I'm really into movies quite a bit. My family's really into that and that type of thing. So that's kind of the main things that we do as a family.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. So you talked about your presentation to the Northern Clerks. I just wanted to ask, are there any other upcoming speaking gigs that our listeners can look forward to?
Well, probably no one on the podcast would be part of, really. So our Clerks Association has, it's divided into Northern and Southern, and they invite us every year. That's twice a year. So this September is their year. And then there's, you know, I'm speaking to another clerk breakout. And the end of this month, there is a full county meeting that happens with the Association of Indiana Counties. But on a national scale, not right now. I think the Invest Project has really been the overwhelming gorilla that's kind of swiped everything else away. I was sad that I couldn't be part of NCCSD this year in Oregon. I was really looking forward to that, but there was a crisis moment kind of for the project of decisions, and I really need to be on site for that. And I know NC itself, I was sad to miss mainly Disneyland, but sad about that as well. I'm hoping to get back on track next year. NCA policy is my, I've never presented, I'm not wanting to, but that is my number two after NCCSD to attend. I would also say that we just had like we have a big conference for the prosecutors that just happened in August, and that was about 500 and some people that attend that. So that was good to go and reconnect with people. But other than that, it's really just, you know, some county visits and just some local county. I speak as much to the counties associations that they want me to be there. We try to expand that. That's part of that relationship building and maintaining.
Yeah. So, I think we're definitely enjoying listening to you speak today and getting that opportunity. So as we kind of bring our time to a close today, any last thoughts or words that you'd like to leave us with?
I think what's been interesting for me is that when I became the 4D director, I never went to any national conferences. I never even, ERICSA. ERICSA is a big one in Indiana, right? We're one of the biggest attending states to ERICSA is Indiana. I never been to any of it. So it was really interesting to get that different perspective of other states and territories. And I really enjoyed getting ideas from them, even some that I knew really wouldn't work because of our structure, but the concepts and to learn from other people. And I know that honestly, whenever in Boston last year in July, when we were kind of at this moment of decision with our Invest project, being with my fellow directors and really getting that energy from them and their support and bouncing honest, kind of sometimes at raw ideas and concerns with that group, it actually changed the trajectory of our project here in Indiana because of that input. So that community is very important to me. And I'm usually not that kind of person, frankly. I'm more of a like go it alone, like we'll just pick our old selves up. Maybe this is a Hoosier thing, I'm not sure. But I've really enjoyed that community of other directors and their experience and their openness with one another. So that's probably to me the biggest joy that I've had being the director is getting to know those other folks, being part of that community and being welcomed, and you're welcomed like instantly. It isn't like you have to prove yourself. You're instantly accepted and part of their group. And I really appreciate that. So, and I'm always concerned about how are we frankly coming across to people and that we're always on our program. And I know there's a lot of negativity out there and I get why, and I understand it, but I think that I want to figure out ways, especially, as I kind of in my mind climb out of the system modernization fog, because that's all we're doing, of how we can really improve on that experience for people. Because I think that it should be something where we're doing something to people, but we're just here to help them along the way and not that this is the destination. This is just the assistance is what our program should be.
Well, we really want to thank our guest today, Adam Norman, director of the Indiana Child Support Program, for stopping by the On Location virtual studio. Thank you, Adam, so much for sharing and letting us get to know you more. We hope you'll come back again and talk with us. Thank you to our listeners. Keep listening, following, and sharing as we are nearing 10,000 plays. Amazing. On behalf of the NCIA Communications Committee, I'm Deanna Rice.
And I'm Tim Leitner. And this has been On Location. On Location is available on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. We have a lot of great episodes on the way, so be sure to subscribe and listen to all of our previous episodes as well. We also appreciate your ratings, your feedback, your comments, and your suggestions. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. On Location is a production of the NCIA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location.